word of prayer, and then we're going to dig into this word. Everybody close their eyes and bow their heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Father God, for today. We thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you, God, on this day, which is symbolic of you resurrecting out of the grave for us, oh God, through the power of God, oh God, that men put you in the grave. They thought it was finished, oh God, but what was really finished was death control over us. What was really finished was sin powers over us. What was really finished, oh God, is the enemy not be able to keep us bound no more, Father God, because you rose with all power of heaven and earth in your hand. So we celebrate it today, Father God, taking it not for granted, oh God. We are thankful, oh God, that you agreed to die for us. And we promise to give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Let your word go forth, oh God, today. Touch every mind, touch every heart, oh God. Draw by your spirit as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Give God a praise. Amen.
Amen.
Real quick, you can turn to the screens. You have your Bible. We're going to be in Ephesians 2. Chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, a quick verse. Please stand for the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Real quick, if you have your Bible, you can turn. If not, you can look at the screen. Ephesians 2, 17 and 18, and it says this. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one spirit to the Father.
Amen.
If you mind, shake somebody's hand and tell them my access has been granted. My access has been granted. Yeah, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. 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 Access. Oh, I'm sorry. Children. Maybe released for children's church. I'm about to get too ahead of me. I'm hyped. It's Easter, y'all. I'm hyped.
Yeah.
But the children may be released for children's church to go on back there. Oh, children may be released. Amen. As we get ready to dig in this word, Ephesians chapter 2. But access granted. It was an American television series that aired from 2001 to 2009 on BET. I don't know if any of y'all remember that. Might be showing our age a little bit. But on this show, they gave us an in-depth look into music videos. You got to get a behind-the-scenes look at how they planned the video, how the director saw his angles and his views, how the artists, you've seen interviews with the artists as they were preparing the video, and you got to see all the backdoor stuff that you really don't get to see. The music video, you see the 3 or 4 or 5 minutes there, and you're like, wow, that's the music video. But it takes days and days to record a music video. They got to get the right angles and the right scenes and all these things. So Access Granted was a show that lets you go behind the scenes and see how the music video was created. Then at the end of the show, you were granted the access to see the world premiere. The first time the video was ever aired on TV, you were able to see that through this show called Access Granted. So you were allowed it access even though you didn't do anything to deserve it. Yeah, I feel like preaching. Y'all do. Can I suggest to you that God is sitting in the director chair, that he's designed this thing called life. And he's giving his son to us to give us a glimpse of his love. We're getting access to something that we don't even deserve.
Amen.
Yeah, we're getting access. We get to see something that we don't even deserve to see. So as we dig into this word today, we're going to be in Ephesians. And I got to start you up and give you just a little context. This is a letter written to the church in Ephesus. And those that were here for our anniversary, I'm starting actually right after verse 10 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2. Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the church of Ephesus, and it says this. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So the Apostle Paul is making remembrance to the church of Ephesus that you were once Gentiles in the flesh. You are Gentiles. What is a Gentile? A Gentile is a person that is not of Jewish descent. So it's a Gentile. So all of us would be considered Gentiles. You had Jews and Gentiles. We didn't come from Jewish descent. So Paul is reminding them that, look here, it was a time where y'all didn't worship Yahweh. Y'all didn't worship the God of the Bible. Y'all didn't know Jehovah. Y'all didn't know him. Y'all were Gentiles. And the way that God separated the Gentiles and the Jews was by circumcision. We know what circumcision. All of us have had little boys, right? We know what a circumcision is. So when God spoke to Abraham and said, look here, this is going to be my covenant between y'all. This is what I want you to do. You got to circumcise every male, young and old. I feel sorry for the old brothers back then. Ooh. Feel sorry for them. But God said, young and old, y'all got to circumcise them all. That would be your covenant. That would show my covenant with you that I'm here. And even those who are not with you that have came that are not a Jewish descent, you can circumcise them too to show that they want to worship and agree with me. So all the Jews became circumcised. So because they were circumcised, this was a practice among Jews, they thought they were spiritually better than everyone else. Be careful not to be proud because of where God didn't bought you from. Amen. Yeah, don't get on your high horse with God and get you $2 over your lunch money. Don't do that. Don't give your high horse to God and get you that nice job and now you got a little work and got you a little car. No, don't you know in 1 second, if God take his hand off of you, all of it can be gone. You call the bank. The bank says, I don't know where your money at. I don't know. It's just gone. I don't know what happened. It's a glitch in the matrix. So we got to be careful not to be prideful. What's going on? So the Jews were proud because of their circumcision. Even though it only affected their physical bodies, it never really touched their heart. It's an outside symbol. So it showed their body, but not their heart. Yeah. So we want you to enjoy yourself in New Creation Church. I want you to come here and have the bomb time. I want you to enjoy the praise and worship. I want you to enjoy the singing. I want you to enjoy the dancing. I want you to enjoy the word, all these things. And it's important that you enjoy all these things. But guess what? God don't want a body of believers to meet every week and his heart far from them. Amen. He just don't want the outside circumcision. He's coming after something called our hearts. He wants to circumcise our hearts. I can prove it to you. Paul said this. The word is near you in mouth and in heart. This is the word of which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. Yes. What? That God raised them from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. That's what he said. He said also this. That with the heart you believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth you confess salvation. So it's because our hearts agree with God. And now our mouth, the outwards, allows us to speak and say the things of God. But it's not until our heart agrees with God. Can God begin to work on us. Amen. Yeah. So Paul is reminding us of these things. Look at verse 12. It says, in those days you were living apart from Christ. We were aliens and we were strangers. We were apart from Christ. Aliens and strangers. That trips me out because I look at our times even today. When in our world we have a president who has kind of made us look at people because they're not from America a certain way. Because they don't have access to America. So we look at them as evil and sometimes as bigotry. Even in politics have terrorized our nation to exhort our government to build a wall to keep people out. Because what are people called? Illegal aliens if they don't belong to your country. So even in Bible days, check this out. Since they were Jews and they weren't circumcised, they were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. So since we're not part of Israel, we're not entitled to the covenant promises that God gave to Israel. Yeah, there are certain things that only pertain to the Jews. There were certain things that God only gave to them. And it trips me out because look at that right there in verse 12. Don't miss it. It says that we are living in a world without God and without hope. That's a sad thing. Yeah, to live in a world without God and without hope. I can't even begin to fathom a world without God and without hope. Yeah. Salvation is needed to remind us of how good God been to us. Yeah, that I'm no longer bound to my natural condition no more. God has been that good to me. Have you ever felt separated before in life? Amen. Have you ever had those feelings of separation? Yeah. No matter how much you tried to fit in sometimes, be it with family or friends, you felt separated? Yeah. Have you ever felt excluded, inadequate, not confident in yourself, not feeling good because God who made God not comfortable in your own skin, God made you a certain way, and because you look at certain people and we get our mind focused on wrong things, that we begin to think that we are excluded from certain groups? Yeah. Even though God has blessed us with our own uniqueness, never forget that. Have you ever felt hopeless? No matter how long you tried and how hard you cried, it didn't matter. I felt hopeless. I couldn't get through no matter how long I stayed in that relationship or that friendship or whatever it may be. It broke me down in my feelings. I felt hopeless. So he said, this is what it's like living in a world without God and our hope. That's how we were because we didn't know God. Struggling. So look at what Apostle Paul says right here in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Dang, thank you, Lady Thomas. I miss y'all shout. I might have read it wrong. I'm reading it again. Because I said we was in a world without God and hope. Okay, without God and hope. But now in Christ Jesus. Somebody should have shouted. If Christ Jesus did anything for you, I shouldn't be able to finish that. But by now in Christ Jesus, you were once for off, have been bought near by the blood of Christ. Bought near by the blood of Christ. He's telling us we were once far off. We were nowhere near God. We were on the other side of the earth. We couldn't find God. Searched all over. Yeah. Couldn't find nobody. We couldn't find God. Yeah. But God used his blood, what? To bring us near. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. I have to make you feel it. Okay, okay. When Moses was done reading the book of the covenant, and Moses in Exodus 24, when he was done reading the book of the covenant and telling them all the promises God had for them and what God said, my Ten Commandments and all this stuff, Moses, then they kill an oxen. And they begin to sprinkle the blood all over the basin and all over the Ark of the Covenant. They begin to spill the blood. Why? Because sprinkling of blood signified that the Lord God had made a covenant with you. Jesus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The blood represents the covenant. Fast forward thousands of years later, God would send his only begotten son. As a sacrifice, as a peace offering for me and for you. Instead of that, instead of blood, check this out. God brings Israel near to God, but he didn't do it just for Israel. He did it for me and you too. It wasn't just for the Jews, but salvation was for the Jews and the Gentiles. So because God's love was so powerful and the blood he shed was so awesome, it didn't just bring a certain group of people together. It brought them all to him. That's why it says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So whoever believed on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It was so powerful that it was enough to get everybody there. Okay. Maybe I can make a point for you. I heard it say like this once, that the death of Christ, check this out, sufficient for all, but efficient for some. So what does it mean? The death of Christ was sufficient for all, but efficient for some. So it was sufficient. I mean, Jesus suffered enough on that cross for the whole world to be saved. He suffered enough on that cross that thousands and thousands of years later, that babies that ain't never sinned before can still get to know him and still repent of their sins and still go to heaven. It was sufficient for all. But it's only efficient for some because everybody ain't going to believe. Woo. God gave enough, but it's up to us to choose to receive it. So the blood of Christ is so powerful. It draws us near to God. Let's look at Paul. Verse 14 says this. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in the flesh the enmity that is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create himself one new man from two, thus making peace. Okay. For he himself is our peace. This emphatically indicates that Jesus alone is the source of our peace. Jesus alone. Yeah, sis, you can't be his peace. I'm sorry. You can't be his peace, baby. He can't be your peace and you can't be his peace. It don't work like that. Jesus is the source of our peace. The Bible says this. That's why the Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. He's the source of it. And could it be the reason you don't have any peace? Because you haven't given the Prince of Peace any authority in your life? He's the prince of it. I mean, he has ownership, authority over it. But he can't give it to you if you won't let him have his authority and his rule in you. The Bible says this. I will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I will keep you in perfect. I need my peace. I don't know how y'all, but I need all the peace I can get. There's enough going on in this world. Enough going on in and out. Enough on my job. I need my peace. My peace too valuable. Money can't keep me. I need peace. Money can't give me what peace can give me. I need my peace. So he says, I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. Could it be we don't have perfect peace because our mind is stayed on our booze? Could it be we don't have perfect peace because our mind is always on our job and our grind and our next move? Could it be because our mind is always on Netflix and what series I could binge watch? Could it be because I got my own agenda? I'm trying to get to the next party and the next scene. All these things that are coming in. And guess what? Now I can't have perfect peace. I got colossal chaos. Woo. Yeah, everybody went over your head. I hate you Tuesday. I don't have perfect peace. I got colossal chaos. I mean, my life is a wreck right now. I don't have no peace. And it doesn't trip me out. We blame God. We don't get peace. But we ain't let him come in our life and give us the peace that we should have. He's the Prince of Peace. He wants to give it to you, but you got to let him do it. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 14. And he broke down the middle wall of separation. Okay. The apostle Paul was very familiar with this wall of separation. Jesus' mission was clear: to bring Jews and Gentiles together to become new creations. That was his mission. In Jerusalem, though, in the temple, there was a wall that served as a barrier. So they had this big old temple, but inside the temple, there was a certain wall. And guess what? Unless you was a Jew, you couldn't get past that wall. Can you imagine that? That I want to worship God. I believe what y'all saying about Yahweh. I believe what y'all saying about Jesus. I believe that. But now it's a wall set up. I can't come across now because I'm not circumcised. Because I don't have Jewish descent. So as you can see, this caused the problem in worship. And I said Paul was familiar with it. Why? Because in Acts chapter 21, to be exact, he was accused of bringing a man named Trophimus, an Ephesian, into the temple. Paul didn't do it, but they accused him of bringing this man to the temple. So they beat him and they arrested him because they thought he brought a Greek, a Gentile, into the temple. And not only did they do that, but guess what? Paul never brought him in there. But they felt the whole temple was defiled now. Because a Jew went in there. A Greek went in there. My God. They thought the whole temple was defiled because a Greek went in there. Look at verse 15. Having abolished the flesh and enmity, that is the law of commands, contained in ordinance as to create himself one new man for two, thus making peace. So through Jesus' death, and Jesus' death abolished all Old Testament ceremonies, all the laws, all the feasts, and all the sacrifices. Why? Because of these things, it separated the Jews and the Gentiles. Because they had to keep their Jewish customs and this and that and that. And the Gentiles didn't know nothing about that. So because they had their own system, it naturally separated them. So because of this, check this out. The Jews considered the Gentiles beyond God's saving power. So be careful not to be on your high horse because you saved. Yeah. What they doing here? Yeah. They can't come to my church. You know they passed? Pastor, he sells drugs. What you doing here? You let him in your church and he sells drugs? I'm sorry, I'm going to say it here. Public service announcement. New Creation Church, I want Bam Bam on the front row. Yeah. I want Bam Bam. It's enough saved people to go to every church here. I don't need more saved people. I want people that just met Jesus, that love him and want to live him. I want Bam Bam on the front row. I want Sunshine on the front row. It's okay, baby. It's okay because I cannot give you, and we put up these walls, and check this out, us as the church people, we think sometimes murder is the only thing worth saving. If they wasn't a murderer, they don't deserve to be saved. No, baby, you got a past too. You did some things you should have did too. Just because grace has came and time has covered up your sins and you look a certain way now, you didn't start out that way. You didn't arrive out of vacuum, no. So we must get ready to make sure that we are not spiritually prideful. Amen. And the Jews struggle with this, y'all. And it trips me out because I'm looking at this as Christ is combining and bringing two groups of people together. It really hit me as I was preparing this that if our nation really followed the teachings of Christ and allowed him to tear down walls of separation, think how better we would be as a society.
Amen.
Yeah. If we really followed Christ and allowed him to tear down walls of separation, blacks and white people would be hand in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we allow him to tear down walls and separation, blacks and browns, and we'll be hand in hand.
Yeah.
And we allow him to tear down walls of separation, gangbangers and Crips and Bloods who no longer want to kill each other, that will be walking hand in hand. And his power, his blood is powerful enough to do that. So I got to thinking that if his blood can bring Jews and Gentiles together, two groups of people that didn't like each other, two groups of people that didn't really care for each other, if his blood is powerful enough to do that, why do you think you can't bring together your marriage? Why do you think you can't fix your marriage? Why do you think you can't fix your relationship with your parents, your sister, your brother, whoever it is? Why don't you think that blood's not that powerful? It brought together two groups of people that didn't even like each other, that disdained each other, couldn't stand each other. So we got to understand how powerful the blood of Jesus is and how it brings us near. Look at verse 16 right here. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached to those who were far off and to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one spirit to the Father. Thank you, Lord, for the access. So he says that he might reconcile them both to God. Do you know what it means to be reconciled?
Yeah.
Well, I went to Webster, and I'm gonna help you out a little bit and give y'all a couple definitions. I like this. Webster said this. One of them was, check this out, was to restore relations between people.
Amen. Good.
That's what reconcile is, to restore a relationship between people. And another one said this. I like this. To make one account consistent with another, especially by allowing for transactions begun but not yet completed. Woo. All right, so reconcile, follow me. So the relationship had to be reconciled. Jesus came to reconcile. So because of Adam's sin, remember the garden, because of Adam's disobedience, all mankind now has fallen into sin. Yeah, we're born with it. I told you before that we don't have to teach our kids what lying is. They learn how to lie when they figure out the truth has a consequence. I never had to sit down with my son and say, son, this is what lying is, do not lie. No. Did you spill that? I might get a whooping. Nah, I didn't spill it. They know what lying is. It's in them already. It's in them. So we all have a problem now with sin, but because of sin, guess what? It broke our relationship with God. And it needed to be reconciled. So guess what God did in his goodness and his grace and mercy? He says, you know what? I know it's messed up. Even in the beginning of the garden, guess what? He had to cover Adam and Eve. It don't say what animal he killed, but it says he covered them with some skins. So an animal was killed, so we know that blood was shed. So God, even in the midst of our sin and our jacked up and all our issues, he still began trying to get the relationship right. But he started accepting partial payments. Yeah. And the guy never made a payment arrangement. That's okay. Everybody here bowing the shot calling. It's cool. But sometimes you got to make a payment arrangement because you don't have it all right now. So God said, look here, y'all don't have it all. Y'all can't pay for this right now. But I'm going to use a payment arrangement. I'm going to let you offer up animals for y'all sins. Look at this. Look at Hebrews 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained our redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean sanctities for the purifying of the flesh. So it was a time when God allowed bulls and goats and heifers and oxen, all these things, to be killed as a sin offering. And it was really to give us a visual effect of how sin affected God. Because you imagine, these animals just wouldn't put in the oven. No. You had to slice. You had to cut. You had to let blood flow down. You had to take out parts of them and boil and all these things. This whole ritual was a lot. But what it really does is it makes you see how awful your sin is to God. That I got to slaughter this animal because of me. So God is saying this purified the flesh to a certain extent back then. But look at the verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, I'm going to shout this girl. We're talking about animals and goats. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offer himself without spot to God, clear your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? So the blood of Christ is so powerful now, because what the animals couldn't do, they couldn't clear our conscience. It was symbolic. It was something that needed to happen because we sinned. We acknowledge, God, forgive me. I shouldn't have did this. I sinned. Here's my sin offering. We acknowledged it, but guess what? We kept running right back to it. So when God says, now my son, because his blood is of a human and is perfect, no issues. He never sinned before. Now it has power not just to give you forgiveness, but to clear your conscience. It ain't enough to just say, God, here I am. No, the Holy Spirit won't work in you. He want to bring you somewhere. He want to do something in your life. And the blood of Christ is how he does it, because it's like everybody's born with a conscience. Amen. We all got a conscience. That's God already putting something in us. You know, when you did right, you did wrong. But trust me, I've talked to people, and some people tell me sometimes they did so much wrong that they don't feel they got a conscience no more. They've learned to ignore it, which is a scary thing. Yeah. Very scary thing. That's something God put in all of us. Yeah. But those that are know, once we get saved, the Holy Spirit is like your conscience on steroids.
Yeah.
Because it'd be something small that's like taking a pen. And you'd be like, that's in my steel. That's that. Lord, forgive me. I'm not taking that pen. You didn't took it on accident. Lord, forgive me. It puts your conscience now on steroids because the Holy Spirit is working in you. And that's what God's trying to show you. The power of the blood. It helps you live a better life. You're forgiven on earth, and it's all that. But also, it's going to help your quality of life on earth so much more. Because he's in you now. So this is why when we pray, guess what? We put things under the blood of Jesus. We pray and plead the blood of Jesus. How powerful. We said it's powerful than goats. It's powerful than all that. The blood of Jesus. And it tripped me out, because if the blood of a lamb, when Moses and them had to do the Passover, the first visual of Christ coming, Moses and them had to do the Passover. Pharaoh wouldn't let the people go. And God says, look here, go take a lamb, kill it, and put the blood of the lamb over your doorpost. And then when I come to kill all of Egypt's firstborn, if I see the blood of the lamb, I will pass over you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I see the blood of the lamb, I pass over you. So now God sends his death angel. He's coming through Egypt, and everywhere he sees the blood, he stops. My God.
Amen.
So now I got that power. I got the blood of his son. So anytime in my life I see something going wrong, I can plead the blood of Jesus over my wife, over my children, over my family, over my loved ones. True story. And I believe this with all my heart. When our daughter Serenity passed away, it's coming up April 23rd. Shout out a prayer from Delay Thompson. Our baby would have been 11. And she passed away at 7 months. And then she got pregnant right after that with our daughter Miracle. And you got to be for real. That check this out, that we human. So our baby dies, we're about to have another baby, she passed away in her sleep. So naturally, you're gonna be nervous.
Amen.
Naturally, some fear can kind of get into you. And I sent it over my wife's faith. She was kind of nervous because how am I going to sleep again, having another baby, knowing that she died in her sleep?
Amen.
So again, I have access now. And as the husband, so this is what I say: we're not gonna worry. We're gonna drive ourselves crazy trying to stay up all night. All we can do is plead the blood over my... Man, y'all missing me. All I can do is plead the blood over my baby. The blood of Jesus saves and heals and sets free and delivers. All I know is the blood, so we plead the blood over her day and night. And then I mentioned we had another one too, and they both healed and they're healthy and everything else. God been so good and so kind to us that we had another baby. And we did the same thing, the same routine. We plead the blood of Jesus. Don't minimize the power of the blood of Jesus, y'all.
Amen.
It's in the blood.
Amen.
So check this out. I'm almost done. For those, look at verse 18. For through him, we both have access by one spirit to the Father.
Yeah.
Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God.
Good. Yes.
God, I got to teach you how to shout.
Yes.
Lord, have mercy. That made me want to shout. That I am no longer a stranger. I'm no longer a foreigner. But fellow citizens and with saints and members of the household of God. I'm part of God's family now. Now, I'm part of his family. So check this out. We're going to talk about just the things that you granted access to. Access is granted. The three things. This is real quick. Relationships, becoming one in God.
Amen.
We get access to the throne of God.
Amen.
And then we get access to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah, those three things we get access to. So check this out. Relationships, becoming one with God. No sinner has any right or worthiness in himself to access God. Yeah. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's me, you, we, us, all, them, and all. Yes. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says this, that our own righteousness should be considered as filthy rags to him. My best day. When I'm just praying all day and I think I'm just doing my thing and I'm living a good life, I ain't trying to sin, I'm just living life and loving it on my best day. I still want righteousness considered filthy rags. That's how holy God is. So check this out. Believers in Christ have been granted access and the right through faith in Jesus and his sacrificial death. So I'm no longer on the outside looking in. See, once I become, believe my faith in Christ is solidified. I believe in him. His death is burial and resurrection. I am now not just here on earth. I'm a citizen of heaven.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
good. I'm a member of God's family.
Yeah.
So no matter what color or creed, rich or poor, whoever believes shall be saved.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to show you. I'm going to say Galatians 3 real quick. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ.
Yes.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. What did he say?
Yes.
What we've been dealing with.
Yeah. Amen.
The Jews and the Greek have been separated because of their spiritual pride. And the Greeks think they don't want to deal with the Jews. And it's all kind of confusion. But now Paul says there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither even male nor female.
Amen.
For you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So God has made us heirs according to the promise of saving us and salvation. So now we get access to becoming one with God. What else we get access to? To the throne of God. Yeah. Access to the throne. Yeah. One of my favorite scriptures is rooted right here. And maybe y'all ain't feeling that, but I hope y'all feel it after this, because it gets me hyped because my blood flowing. Access to the throne of God.
Amen.
To the throne of God. Think about this. Look at this in Hebrews 4 real quick. Seeing that we have a great high priest, talking about Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. I know Jesus is perfect.
Yes.
He is all that. He's God. He's perfect. But that don't mean he can't sympathize with our weakness.
Amen.
What do you mean, Pastor Jesus? Hey, Jesus was perfect. Man, he had to deal with all that. Jesus' whole crew betrayed. His homeboys left him. His squad, gang. They left him. Been rolling with him for 3.5 years. Rolling, seeing the miracle, seeing this, seeing that. When the popo came up, they rolled. Peter was about it for a minute. He cussed my ear. Jesus healed the ear. I got to go, bro. It's too much. It's too hot. It's hot around here. Peter dipped on him. Judas, supposed to be his homeboy, agreed to betray him. Judas said, "Where the bag? Give me the bag. I'll show you where he at. Matter of fact, I go kiss him for you." That's how y'all know who to get. I'm going to give him a kiss on the cheek. I'm going to signify to y'all who it is. So don't think Jesus ain't went through nothing. The church folk was trying to kill him. Oh. The church folk, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the church folk was trying to kill him.
Wow.
But we think Jesus ain't went through nothing. Jesus was from Nazareth. I equate Nazareth as being something like similar to Hallville. Because guess what? When Jesus came up on his mission and he began to gain fame because of his healing and his teaching, guess what the people of Nazareth said? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Hallville? Can anything good come out of Post Road? Can anything good come out of that?
Yeah.
This is Jesus' people.
Yeah.
My face said, who do you think he is? Ain't he the son of a carpenter? Ain't that Mary's boy, the bastard child? She lied and had an affair with him, trying to say he's somebody's guy, his daddy. Ain't that him over there? That's him, right? Don't think Jesus ain't went through nothing.
Yeah.
It is clear that he can sympathize with us because he has also dealt with our weakness. And love this, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. That's why I love it. He went through all that, but he didn't sin. Why didn't he sin? Because we were on his mind. Even thousands of years ago, why did he go through all that and not sin, and not commit sin, not giving to the devil, trying to make him make bread out of stones, not throwing himself off the cliff, not saying, you know what, I don't want to go to the cross, I'm going to bow down to you and get all these kingdoms. No, he went through all that. Why? Because me and you was on his mind. So because of all of that, look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace.
Yeah.
Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Because of Jesus and who he is, and I believe what he's done, now I can come boldly to the throne of grace.
Yes.
Not boldly to the Facebook. Not boldly to the Instagram or the Snapchat. Not boldly to the, I get to go boldly to the throne of grace, which means I get to go and talk to God about anything in my life because of what Jesus did. The Bible says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you.
Amen.
Give him your problems. Give him your cares. He says, take up my yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Learn of me. He's there to help you with your problems, your struggles, your insecurities, your fears, whatever you've been through. Maybe it's the perfect church. I ain't been through nothing. But whatever you've been through, he's there to help you get through that stuff. You got access to the throne of God. But what does this access mean? Check this out. The high priest. I got a couple of illustrations to show you. The high priest under the old covenant had to pass through three areas to get to the throne of God. Check this out. This is a picture of the temple. So as you can see, the man with his hands up is the high priest. You can see the other priests over there lighting the lampstands, which was the job of the priest. The other one was over there breaking the bread, baking the bread, and that's the high priest. So the high priest is there with his hands up, and if you look at this one right here, that's the veil. So this is the veil right there in the temple. It's a big, long curtain. I can't give you the measurements. Don't know exact. But it's super long, super huge, you can see. And it went all the way from the top to the ground. And behind that place was something called this, the Holy of the Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant sent. So that was the temple. The priest would walk through the main court, get into the temple. That's the middle place, the holy place. But then behind the veil, we see the Ark of the Covenant, where sins were forgiven. That's called the Holy of Holies. So this is the access. So check this out. In those days, the high priest is the only person that could go to there. If you wasn't a high priest, you couldn't go to the Holy of Holies. He's the only one that could get access to the throne of God for you. Because the whole temple was built to be a mirror of what heaven could be, as close as it can get on earth of what heaven looked like, and God forgiving of our sins. So once a year, it's called the Day of Atonement. The high priest would go back there. He would offer up an animal for himself for his sins, and then he would offer up an animal for all of Israel and all their sins. For the whole nation, he would make an atonement of all the sins for everybody. But guess what? The high priest had to make sure he was doing what he's supposed to be doing. It was so holy, and God's power was so awesome back there that they would tie a cowbell around his foot. Why? Because he's the only one that can go back there. So they would put him on a rope. This is your job. You go back there with God. And he going back there. They put him on the rope. And he's in there sacrificing everything to God. And God's glory is around. And he gets to shaking his leg and know everything is okay. But guess what? When they pull and shake and nothing happened, sometimes the high priest would die back there because he wasn't right before God. Because God's awesome in his glory. He declares us to be right before we come him. So the high priest couldn't be living any kind of way and doing whatever he wanted to do. And then he'll go back there in the presence of God. No, can't do that. So they would have to pull him out if he died. But if he didn't, he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He would come back out. But the point is that only the high priest could go back to the holies of holies. The Bible says we have a high priest. Who passed through the heavens. So since Christ went to the holies of holies from earth up into the heavens of heavens, now anytime I want to, I got access to God's throne. Amen. Don't minimize that, because we want access to everything else. We want to have access, VIP access to parties and to concerts and get back here and go there. We get access to the most powerful thing ever.
Amen.
The throne of God, where prayers are answered, where forgiveness is met. But the high priest, God, Jesus allowed us to have that. And this is the last one. He gives access to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah, access to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we need the Holy Spirit. Look what Jesus said, John 16. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled my heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. This shows us the importance of Jesus' death. Yeah. He tells us that, look here, I got to go on the cross. He died on the cross. Matter of fact, the gospel writer says, he said this, into your hands I commend my spirit. He gives up the ghost. So Jesus gives up the ghost so we can receive it. Yeah, if I'm comprehending my Savior correctly, it seems like he's saying that if I don't go clean up this sin debt and reconcile this transaction, y'all gonna always be in trouble. Yeah. Even our world understands that some debts just have to be forgiven. What can you can file bankruptcy, right? Because sometimes, some point, if it gets too much, we can let it go. Even us to have student loans, college students that went through college, praise God, you graduated, yep, I did, student loans, yep. It's something called, guess what, student loan debt forgiveness. That if you were a public servant and you pay your loans for 10 years, no matter how much you actually still owe, they just forgive it and let it all go. So even in the natural, we know that sometimes some debts have to be forgiven. So Jesus is saying like this, if I don't clean up your sin debt, y'all never gonna get free. If I don't go handle this problem, if I don't take care of what the enemy's been doing to my people, y'all never going to get free. The Holy Spirit gives us freedom. He's called the Spirit of Truth for a reason. Why? So we can walk in truth. It gives me the strength to always know God is near. It gives me the strength and allows me to hear God's voice. It gives me the strength to no longer do what I used to want to do. The Holy Spirit helps us to be free. And it's because of God, through Jesus, we have access to all that. My last illustration, I'm closing. When my mom and dad, when they got married, years and years ago, my dad's going to heaven, rest his soul. When they got married, my grandma always tells me the story, my mom's mom. So they had a wedding, big wedding. I wasn't born yet. I seen the pictures. Like, everybody was there. I mean, wedding party, like, it was 10 on each side. Big old wedding. Everybody was there. And my grandmother, my mom's mom, was in charge of the cake table. So she was cutting up the cake. And you know that it was a big wedding, so they had to have a big cake, right? So it's several pieces of cake. So my grandma's back chopping up cake, and this little girl comes, and she comes to get some cake and goes back to the table. The little girl comes again and gets some more cake and goes back to the table. The little girl sitting back there today, as a matter of fact, y'all. But the little girl comes and gets some more cake. So my grandmother says, you know what? Something's not right. Why does little girl keep getting cake? It's too many people here. We got a lot of people to serve. Why does little girl come get cake? So the little girl comes to the table again. She said, excuse me, little girl, you can't keep coming taking this cake. Who are you? She said, this is my daddy cake. So my grandma said, how many pieces you want? Y'all miss y'all shout. Because of her daddy had already paid a price for the cake. When she came to get access, she couldn't just get a little bit. She could get all she wanted. So God in his goodness, our daddy, sent his son to share his glory for us. What? To give us some access. So we just don't get a little bit. We get all God has for us. We get more than enough. We get to live a life abundantly. We get to live life full. We get to live life in his grace, in his mercy. We get to have peace. We get to have everything we need. Because our Father gave us access. Amen. Can we give God some praise in this place? Can we give God some glory in this place? Give him your best shout, your best praise for his goodness, his grace, his mercy. We thank you, oh God. We worship you, oh God, on this day. We give you glory and honor and praise for what you're doing.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know where you stand in your relationship with Christ. And this ain't the church where people are like, you ain't been to church all year. You want to come on Easter. I'm glad you're here if that's the case.
Amen.
I'm super glad you're here. What better day to get it right? What better day to say, you know what? This is what it's all about. That he died and rose for me. So if you know you need Jesus, and I believe everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs to be saved. We see the world we're living in. If you listen to your radio, turn on TV, look at the news. We know what kind of world we're living in. Scroll down our timelines. We know what kind of world we're living in. And it's a world that needs Jesus. So if you need to be saved, you say, you know what, Lord? I surrender to you today. I need you, oh God. Let today be your day. Let today, Easter Resurrection Sunday of 2019, be the day you say, God, I'm committed to you, God. I'm going to follow you, God, so I can get this access. Because I had enough access in my life. I've had access to drugs in my life, and it didn't do me good. I've had access to alcohol in my life and it didn't do me good. I've had access to the streets. I've had access, oh God, to relationships that didn't do me no good. I've had access to all these things. But I want your access. I need access to become one with you. I need access to be able to go to the throne of grace to pray and give my heart to you. I need access to the Holy Spirit to help me live a life that's pleasing to you. So if today is the day where you say, Lord, I need you, please come today. If you need to be saved, or maybe you have been saved and you want to rededicate your life to Christ, let today be today. But I know one thing, God loves you. God didn't bring you here on accident today. And God loves you and he cares. He wants the best out of your life. Not a little bit. He wants the best. God is so awesome. He does the most with the broken pieces. That's why the Bible declares that he is the potter and we are the clay. See, the clay is just lumpy. The clay is nothing without the potter. The clay is sit there. But guess what? The clay has to be heated up. It has to be molded. The potter has to know what he's doing. He has to guide it and smooth it around and get rid of the rough edges and make it smooth. And that's God's job. He is the potter and we are the clay. So if you need to be saved, don't let the enemy keep you in your seat. God came to give you life, not just life, but life more abundantly. God came to love on you. God wants to do something amazing in everyone's life in here. I believe it with all my heart and soul. But he gonna do what we let him. Yeah, God's not forceful. God's not a forceful God. He only do what you let him. So if you need to be saved, if you need to give your life to Christ, I don't know, maybe you need to be baptized. I don't know what you stand in the need of today, but whatever you need, know God is here. God wants to do something in your life. You were worth saving. As we sung that song earlier, you were worth it. God could have came down off the cross, but he said, nah, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, you know what? I'm going to stay here, God. Even though I feel forsaken by you, because I got to carry the weight of their sins, I'm going to stay here, God, because I love them that much. So those who know me, I don't stretch out altar call. I probably say this to Jesus, come back. I can't scare nobody into heaven. Can't scare you in there. And if I got to scare you in there, it ain't going to last. This is a loving relationship. Love don't do that. Love don't put fear on you. Love gives love, and love takes love. So if you need to be saved, last call, if you need to be saved, you need to give your life to Christ. Maybe you need to be baptized. I don't know, whatever the case may be. But if you need something, let today be your day. Hallelujah. All right, let's give God a praise in this place. Amen. Can we give God a praise for Easter Sunday, for resurrection? God is standing at the feet and giving some praise and honor and glory. So without this day, we don't have access to heaven, y'all. We don't have access to eternal life without this day. So I thank God, who is truly worthy of all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.